Glory to Jesus Christ! Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish presents Light of the East, a program revealing how the Eastern Catholic Churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Churches and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, and spirituality. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, and this is a story of the Eastern Churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look toward the Light of the East.
Light of the East is also underwritten by a grant from the charitable Koch Foundation, whose vision is to strengthen and propagate the Catholic faith by providing grant support for a wide variety of evangelization efforts. Learn more at KochFoundation.org. Koch spelled K-O-C-H. And Light of the East is also supported by Eastern Christian Publications, where you can find the prayers of the Catholic Byzantine Daily Office at ecpubs.com and easternchristianmedia.com. A broadband network. For you to learn more about the Eastern Catholic Churches, that's easternchristianpublications.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Welcome to Light of the East. I am Father Thomas Loya, your host. There's nothing left for Christ to do. In fact, somebody asked John Paul II, why doesn't God do something about all the bad in the world? And John Paul II said to him, what else do you want him to do? He came down from heaven. Walked among us, did miracles, suffered, died, bled for us, went into hell for us, raised us up with him, and mounted us on the throne of heaven. What else do you want him to do? What a great answer from the great St. John Paul II. And that is true. What else is there left to do? Jesus accomplished his mission. We're at that point in the liturgical calendar, especially of the Byzantine Catholic Church. We've now gone through Lent, the Paschal season, Pentecost. Christ has sent the Holy Spirit, the final action he had to do. And so what we do on this Sunday in our Byzantine calendar is we focus and honor all the saints. This is All Saints Day in the Byzantine Catholic calendar. And we do that because we look at all that Christ has done. In other words, his great action of descending from heaven, going as low as he can go, even going into Hades, into hell for us to do battle with Satan, break the bonds that he held over humanity, and release us from those bonds so he can then take our nature all the way to heaven with him. This, of course, is what we just celebrated with the Feast of the Ascension. He had one more task, and that was to send the Holy Spirit down upon us so that the presence of God, which was once walking on earth in the form of Jesus Christ in his human and divine nature, but that presence of God, now ascended in this form, would still be present through the Church, and especially through its saints. And this is why we honor them. They also give us the answer to this question, what else is there left to do? Well, there's nothing left for Christ to do. The only thing is, he's going to come back, but he's already accomplished what he had to do on earth and return to his Father in heaven, return to the place that he never left. That is heaven, because of course he was God, second person of the Trinity, who incarnated himself in this world, accomplished the mission, and returned to the place that he had never left. In other words, the place of the Holy Trinity in heaven. So now it is for us to look and understand and embrace and love and respect and honor, multiply, magnify what God did on earth, his descent and his ascent. In other words, it is for us to become holy, to become saints. He gave us all the tools. He left it all here on earth. In sports, a lot of times, for example, in football, when a player has really played his heart out, he'll say, I left it on the field. I left it all on the field. I gave everything I got. Well, that's what Jesus did. He left it all on this earth for us and then returned to heaven. But what he left for us was example and the tools for a holiness. And striving for holiness, striving for sanctity, is the one and only ambition we should have on this earth. Everything else serves that. For example, if you have an ambition for a career or something you want to do in life, invent something, go somewhere, whatever you want that is noble, those are just ways of your own sanctification. Everything we desire should be serving that one main, central, fundamental desire, and that is for sainthood. Sainthood is really about being a normal human being. That's right. We were made holy. Adam and Eve were saints. They fell, but then, of course, God redeemed them. They're in heaven now. But a saint is simply someone who is fully human, has reached in their own unique, particular way for their own personhood that is unique, that God created. They have achieved the fullness of themselves. In other words, they have divinized or entered into the process of theosis. In other words, our ongoing growth into the image and likeness of Christ, because that's how we were created. We were created in the image and likeness of God. That's it. That's the truth. The Bible does not say we were created in the image and likeness of God, and sometimes we mess up because we're only human. It doesn't say that. That is something we say because of a foreign intrusion into how God made us, and that is sin. So when we are striving for sinlessness, we're striving for sanctity, we are striving simply to recover, regain our authentic humanness. That's what a saint is. A saint is someone who is just authentically human. In other words, they were being authentically as much as they could while they were on this earth. They were being as authentically who God intended them to be as a human being and as a person. They were being that as authentically as they possibly could, and they reached a certain level of human authenticity, and that's why they're called saints. We tend to think that saints are special people. Well, they are. They're special by not being special. In other words, they're special by being, returning to, be striving to return to, and that is the best version of ourselves, our full authentic humanness, through our own unique gifts and personhood. See, we don't have to be Mother Teresa. We don't have to be St. Francis, St. Basil. We admire them. Those are our models. We ask them to intercede for us. But we don't have to be them. God doesn't want us to be them. They already were. What God wants us to be is the fullness of ourselves, our unique selves. I often think of the sky at night. I look up in the sky and I see the stars. And look at all those stars. And what makes the night beautiful? What makes it beautiful is that all the stars are different. There are different places. Some are bigger. Some are closer to us. Some are in clusters. Some are separate. Some are brighter. Some are medium and some are dim. Some are very, very far away or very, very bright, very close. You could describe the sky on and on in these ways by its variety. And that star that is far away is not as bright or not as big as a star who is large, like the planets. Sometimes you see them very bright, Saturn and Venus and so on, the moon. They are all equally important because they're all being who and what they are. In other words, that star that's far away, that's not as bright, is supposed to be that way because that star makes its own contribution to what is this beautiful mosaic in the sky. Just think of all the stars with the same size and the same brightness. Things would be actually not as interesting. What makes it beautiful is this variety. But each one has to be just what it is. And that's what happens with nature, all of nature, whether animate or inanimate objects. They are just what they are. It's only the human person that can choose to act other than what we are, other than how we were created. I think of, for example, a symphony, listening to music. All the different instruments in the orchestra. And they're all playing, but they're playing at different levels. They're playing at different kinds of pace and tone and pitch and so on, different parts, different rhythms. If it wasn't for that difference, where some are greater, in other words, more pronounced, oftentimes in a symphony orchestra, it's the violins who are sort of the main instrument. If it wasn't for the supporting instruments, the sound wouldn't be so beautiful. It would be kind of lopsided, Not as interesting. Might be nice, but it won't be as interesting. It won't be as spectacular. I often marvel. I try to listen very closely to symphonies. I try to hear all the different parts, every instrument. What is that instrument playing? Do I hear that instrument? That's something my mother taught me, you know, as growing up. When she introduced me to symphony music, classical music, she'd say, can you hear the instruments? Can you name the instruments that you hear playing in there? So I had to learn to listen carefully, even to what was seemingly the softest, most unimportant instrument. That soft, seemingly unimportant instrument was vital to the whole sound of that orchestra. And that's what sanctity is. In the church, we have, in fact, different levels of saints. And some, of course, are very profound. We have the fathers of the church. We have saints that are just like household terms, even in the secular world. You think of the Star Wars series. They had a person in there, a character in there that was modeled after a monk, monastics, like St. Benedict or St. Francis. Those are household terms, St. Francis, St. Joseph, St. Benedict. We think of those powerful saints, St. Patrick, and yet there are saints who we never even heard of, but they're all part of, just like that sky, they're all part of this beautiful mosaic tapestry that we call the church and the saints, both on earth and in heaven, with whom we are aligned through prayer and through the sacraments. In the Eastern Catholic churches, saints are huge. They are the Latin Rite church too, of course. In our church, though, we paid a lot of attention to different categories of saints, the different types. It's like, again, listening to those different instruments in the orchestra. They're all different. Some are more pronounced than others, but each one is absolutely equally valuable. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the musical score. The composer wouldn't have included them. God included all the stars, all of them, bright ones or lighter ones, softer ones, close ones, further ones, to make that great symphony in the sky. We'll talk more about saints and their categories when we return. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Every day, Father Loya posts a brief 2-minute Facebook video on the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish homepage. You'll be amazed at what you can learn just by watching. Light of the East mission is Christianity's reunion, and to tell the story of the Eastern Lung of the Catholic Church, we need your support. In order to keep Light of the East on the air, you can make a donation now by going to ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. And then donate securely using any major credit card. With your help, we can keep Light of the East's illumination bright. You are listening to the Choirs of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church under the direction of Timothy Woods in Homer Glen, Illinois. This is the music you hear on Light of the East and is sung during the sacred liturgy at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish. Order online at ByzantineCatholic.com. All we ask is a donation of $20 or more, which includes shipping and handling, to Annunciation Parish for each Theosis CD. Send a check made out to Annunciation Parish at 14610 Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. And may God grant you. Light of the East holds in our hearts and prayers those who gave their full measure in defense of our nation. Remember their sacrifice on this day of remembrance, Memorial Day. It's no secret that Father Loya and other speakers from the Tabor Life Institute are available to speak at your parish or group on marriage and family topics seen through the lens of St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body. Other topics include Eastern Christian spirituality and the significance of art in the church. The Tabor Life Institute can arrange for marriage encounters, parish missions, and can help your parish facilitate teen faith formation in either English or Spanish. For Father Loya and other speakers, contact the Tabor Life Institute by writing to taborlife@earthlink.net. That's Tabor, spelled TABOR, life@earthlink.net.
Welcome back to Light of the East. I'm Father Thomas Loya, your host. Are you feeling holy? Are you on the route to sanctity? Today is All Saints Day in the Byzantine Catholic calendar, as we've been talking about, and what actually is a saint and why we are called to be saints. That's what every human being is called to be. And you become a saint by becoming the best, fullest, most authentic version of yourself. In other words, you sort of max yourself out. You maximize who you are, the uniqueness of your person. Think of all the saints, as I mentioned. Many of them we know, many of them we do not know very well, but they're in the books. I come across them every day, and sometimes I read about them and I say, boy, I've never heard of this saint, but he's very, or she's very interesting nonetheless and vital. So each one becomes who God intended them to be, the fullness of who they are. Now, in the Eastern Church, as I mentioned, we're very big on saints. We have a rite of preparation of the gifts that happens in the sanctuary on a table that is to the left of the main altar. This is where the priest and deacon prepare the bread and wine that's going to be carried in procession, put on the altar, then consecrated into the body and blood of Christ. Now, during that ritual, the priest takes the bread. We use a leavened bread. In other words, it's like raised, looks like something like a muffin. Sometimes we use 1, 3, or 5. And we cut that loaf of bread into different particles, and we place it on the discos in a certain pattern. And we say a certain phrase or prayer for each cut, for each particle. In fact, what we do is we go through 9 levels of saints, and we name each particle for that level. For example, we begin with what we call the lamb or the host, the center part of the bread. That's going to be Christ. It's the largest part. That's in the center of the discos. Looking at the discos, to the left of that centerpiece is a piece of bread we cut in the form of a triangle. Now, we do it purposely as a triangle because it's going to be different from the other particles. Why is it different? Because that triangle represents the Mother of God, the Virgin Mary. She is, of course, set apart from all other human beings. And the priest says, as he cuts and places that particle on the discos next to the large particle, which is the lamb, he says, "The queen stood at your right hand, vested in robes, adorned with gold," which comes from the book of Revelations. Then he goes down a kind of hierarchy. You know, there's actually a hierarchy in heaven, a hierarchy of saints, just like a hierarchy up in the sky with the stars or in the symphony orchestra. He puts a particle now to the right of that host, that large piece in the middle, and he says, "The honorable and heavenly angelic powers." So the next one down for the Virgin Mary are the angels in heaven. The next piece is the honorable and glorious prophet, forerunner of Baptist John, and all the prophets. Then he goes down to the holy, glorious, illustrious apostles, Peter and Paul, and all the other holy apostles. What he's doing is the priest is putting these particles in 3 rows of 3. So it's the Virgin Mary, it's the angels, and all the heavenly powers, we call them. The prophets, especially starting with John, the forerunner, John the Baptist. The apostles, now you can notice this hierarchy too, it makes sense. Then the fathers of the church, Basil the Great, Gregory the Theologian, John Chrysostom, Athanasius and Cyril, and others. Then the first martyrs, Archdeacon Stephen, the holy great martyr Demetrius, George, Theodore, and so on. Then the venerable and God-bearing fathers. In other words, the venerable saints. Now, these would be the monastics. They're called venerables. Anthony, Themius, Sabas, Onuphrius, those great spiritual masters. Then the holy and charitable wonder workers like Cosmos and Damian. Why were they wonder workers? Because they healed people without charging for it. They could actually heal people. They were like physicians, the charitable wonder workers, or sometimes we call them the unmercenaries. And then the holy and just ancestors of God, Joachim and Anna. Then we do one more particle, and we say, in the memory of the holy saint, in other words, whoever that particular intention is for, the saint of the day, and all the saints through whose prayers, O God, watch over us. Now, there's a lot more particles that we put on there as well for other commemorations, but those are the hierarchies of saints. And in fact, in the Eucharistic prayer in the Eastern liturgy, which we call the anaphora, which means the offering, right after the epiclesis. Epiclesis means the calling down of the Holy Spirit. In the Latin Rite Mass, it happens before the words of consecration. In the Byzantine liturgy, it happens after the words of consecration. Once again, an example of complementary ways at arriving at the same point. And that is the calling down the Holy Spirit to change the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Remember, the priest doesn't change it. The Holy Spirit changes it. God changes it, but works through the priest. So during that moment, this is after the epiclesis, when we call down the Holy Spirit, the priest says this, "Change these gifts, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that for those who partake of them, they may bring about a spirit of vigilance, the remission of sins, the communion of your Holy Spirit, the fullness of the heavenly kingdom, and confidence in you, not judgment or condemnation. Moreover, we offer you this spiritual sacrifice for those departed in the faith." Now here we go with, again, a hierarchy. The forefathers, fathers, patriarchs, prophets, apostles, preachers, evangelists, martyrs, confessors, ascetics, and for every just spirit brought to perfection in faith. Now, did you hear that hierarchy, that list of all the different forms of saints? I like the last part where it says, and for every just spirit brought to perfection in faith. That hopefully would at least, at the very least, be you and me, that we would actually be accounted among those who were brought to perfection in faith. In other words, we may not be saints that will make the calendar. We may not be known, but hopefully we were brought to perfection in faith. So in other words, we reach sanctity, which may not ever get the publicity per se, but we reached that. And that's what we need. That's what we need and want. Some of the saints will be recognized, and they'll fall into these categories that we just mentioned, prophets, ascetics, and preachers, and so on. And some are just the spirits who were brought to perfection in faith. It's like what we like to think about with our deceased relatives and friends. We oftentimes say at funerals or after they passed, we like to say, oh, well, they're in heaven now, they're in a better place, and so on. Well, okay, now that's a good wish, but we really shouldn't say that, believe it or not, because only God knows, only God can judge where someone is after death. Now, we know some people that are in heaven because that's who saints are. That's what makes them saints. We know they're in heaven. The church determines that definitively. We do not know, unless the church proclaims you as a saint in heaven, we do not know if someone is in heaven. Maybe they're not there yet. Maybe they're in purgatory. We don't know. But we have that hope. The famous Catholic evangelist, Bishop Robert Barron, would say, we have a reasonable hope. Now, that was actually a very good statement. Many people misinterpreted that, but it was actually a very accurate statement. We do have a reasonable hope that people of faith that we know that have passed on are in heaven. We don't know that they are. See, hope does not mean something definitive. Otherwise, it wouldn't be hope. Hope means that we don't know what's definitive yet, but we hope for it. We pray for it. And we have a reasonable hope, especially if there are people of faith. But that's why the church prays incessantly, unceasingly, especially in the Byzantine church. We pray a lot for the deceased. Every liturgy, out loud, we do a lot for the deceased. Why? Because we want them in heaven. We don't know if they are or not. And if they were good people, because, you know, we have to be humble. We're not the judge. Reasonable hope, yeah. And we keep praying for them. That's why we shouldn't say, oh, well, they're in heaven now, because that kind of like makes us, kind of casual, like, oh, it takes us off the hook. We don't have to pray for them anymore. Yes, you do. And the church does pray. We prayed last week for all souls, the fifth all souls. Now we're praying with all the saints. And we're praying that we become like them as saints. In our prayers also for this All Saints Day, in the Byzantine Church, we say, by the Holy Spirit, every holy person shall prophesy and perform heavenly wonders. They shall sing to the one God in three persons. The Godhead, although one, shines with a triple flame. Did you catch that? By the Holy Spirit, every holy person shall prophesy and perform heavenly wonders. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? Yes, you do. If you were baptized and confirmed, you know, chrismated, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the tools that Christ left behind to become the best version of yourself to become a saint. And it says that if you have it in you, you will prophesy and perform heavenly wonders. In other words, you'll be a prophet on earth. Be prophetic in your personal holiness. Thanks for listening. Now go forth and become saintly. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
To hear Light of the East again, visit ByzantineCatholic.com and click on the Features and Programs tab. And on iTunes. Thank you for listening to Light of the East. We encourage you to tell a friend about Light of the East and to visit ByzantineCatholic.com. Light of the East is produced by ADC Media.
Listeners to Catholic Radio, I think, benefit most, at least initially, from what I call remedial catechesis. What Catholic Radio does is it becomes an echo chamber for the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. And what we're doing is teaching many things which have been neglected over the last 40, 50 years. If you listen to Catholic Radio, you know what the Catholic Church teaches.
Al Cresta thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To learn more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. In order to continue Light of the East with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, spelled Will-Cook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Or donate online on the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many happy years.